You're listening to a Whales Are Whales production.
You're also listening to Whales.
Visit whalesorewhales.com for more projects and shows like this one.
Greetings.
And welcome to Hearthaholics, a Hearthstone strategy podcast about sitting back, chatting with friends, and figuring out how to be more awesome at this game. I am your host, Brian, and this is episode 20 of Hearthaholics. We are 1 year away from being able to legally drink. And joining me today is Andres. Hello, Andres.
Hey, Brian. Glad to
and
be here.
And Billy. Hey, Billy.
Hey. What's going on?
Not too much. Sorry to cut you off there, Andres. What were you saying?
Oh, you're saying that I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited because next episode we are going to be allowed to be drunk during the podcast, and I'm sure that can go no ways but incredibly well. Once you've been around for 20 episodes, you earn the right to lose your listeners. So
is that so? Once 20 episodes, you can just do whatever you want.
Exactly.
Is the rules podcasting rules?
that's what I figure anyway. So, you know, we've had a good run, but now it's time to start annoying everyone who has stuck with us so far. So I'm really excited. But I'm also excited about the grand tournament, which is right on the horizon right there. Billy, what do you think about all the crazy stuff that's been coming out? The Tavern Brawl, the new cards.
The most exciting thing for me so far was like the only thing that made me like yell in excitement. Was
like what sort of yell was this?
This was like, oh my gosh! Like I freaked out. Like I definitely didn't expect it. Playing Tavern Brawl, and I played Argent Horse Rider, and he says, "Don't worry, loves, cavalry's here."
Oh my god! Yeah,
don't know.
That's totally from Overwatch.
That's a reference to the Overwatch trailer, and that got me super excited. The fact they planted the seed, and that was cool.
I noticed that this morning. I was like, wait, that sounds so familiar, because I had watched the Overwatch trailer, like rewatched it recently. I was like, that sounds familiar. It's totally from there. I thought it was cool. A nice Easter egg.
That might be the closest we're going to get to Overwatch cards in Hearthstone, which is kind of sad. But
they'll run out of ideas eventually. And we could see an alternate hero portrait. We have Tracer as our hunter.
Yes, that would be amazing. I would actually really like to see, you know, play as Diablo the Warrior. That would be so cool.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
My God, you just melted my brain of excitement.
That would be great. But before we jump into all of our stuff we've been doing in Hearthstone recently and all that, I wanted to introduce a new quick segment at the beginning of this episode. So some people may know that I do another podcast, and Billy also does this podcast known as the Whales Are Whales podcast. And it's a podcast that brings together everyone on the Whales Are Whales Network, which is a network that produces this show, among others, to just talk about whatever is going on in our lives and the world at large. Craziness ensues every week. But an important part of that episode has become the Hearthstone Minute, which is when Billy and I are on, Stephen will allow us a minute to talk about Hearthstone in an otherwise not Hearthstone themed podcast. And he says, you can't go over that because you guys have a whole podcast to talk about Hearthstone. But I figure for people that listen to the Whales Are Whales podcast and Hearthaholics, they might be getting too much Hearthstone. So I'm instituting the non-Hearthstone minute for Hearthaholics, where we have to talk about something, anything other than Hearthstone for 1 minute.
Interesting. Oh. Okay.
Okay. I'm excited about
this. So Andres, what non-Hearthstone thing do you want to talk about?
For 1 minute?
For 1 minute. I'm going to start counting now.
All right, cool. I've been doing something really cool. Some of my friends, my roommate, and a couple of my friends started playing Heroes of the Storm, and they've never played a MOBA before. So it's been really cool because I've been playing the game for a while, but never had that many friends to play with it. But now my roommate who's next door plays it, and my friend too, so he's been coming over. And I've been teaching them the game. They've been learning with me. I've been doing like a four-man team or so, and they've gotten a lot better. Like they've been playing for like 2 weeks now. They've really got into the game, got a couple of heroes. They're almost level 30, so we want to start doing some hero leagues. And it's not like a high-level team or anything like that, but It's just like really fun camaraderie, and it's right. the funnest I've had in that game so far.
Some of my fondest memories of Heroes are when I was first playing it and Billy was showing me the ropes. There was something really fun about having a friend like show me how to do things and see myself get better and better as I started figuring out the concepts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've seen it get better, like from like not knowing what to do at all to like, oh, okay, they've actually killed everyone on the other team. Awesome.
And now that we've passed a minute, I have to tie this back into Hearthstone, so I'll ask how many of you are using the Hearthstone card mount?
Which one?
The mount. In Heroes of the Storm, you can float around on the Hearthstone card.
It depends on which one I'm using. If it's like a badass hero like Sylvanas or something, I'll use the Mechano Spider. If it's like the Monk or something, I'll use the Hearthstone card back.
Nice. When that Hearthstone mount came out into Heroes of the Storm, I took the time and effort to change every single one of my heroes to the Hearthstone card, keeping in mind that I own every hero in that game. And then and then I've given up on that and I don't use it on any of them now.
I always forget that the mounts are hero specific, so I'll be like really hyped about my Hearthstone mount and then I'll switch heroes and be like, why am I on a boring horse?
I hate that. The stupid horse.
Yeah.
There should be like I'm set favorite like there is on Hearthstone.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Wow. So I think that was a pretty successful first non-Hearthstone minute. I mean, I was getting a physical reaction there about not talking about Hearthstone. I was a little worried I wouldn't make it without like a gag reflex and just start screaming, Tyrion, Fordring! But no, we made it.
Good.
But yeah, if you liked that, people, and want more of it, check out the Whales Are Whales podcast for more of us talking about things other than Hearthstone.
I love that we specifically set ourselves the goal to not talk about Hearthstone for a minute, and instead we just talked about another Blizzard game for a minute.
Hilariously, I was telling Steven, my brother, this idea over dinner tonight, and he said, you're probably going to talk about Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So
I wanted to focus the topic on camaraderie and friendship and playing as a team, but
exactly.
I guess not Heroes of the Storm just happened to be the game.
I'm slightly upset about you passing Andres the torch there. I was going to talk about my exciting trip to the comic book store, but
I'm sorry, Billy. Next week, keep that in your mind. Next week, we will give you
That's what the Whales Are Whales podcast is for.
That's true, but you're not going to be here this Sunday, right?
No, probably not.
Exactly. So we're going to give you the minute for our next non-Hearthstone minute. You can do the comic book store.
Tune in next week to hear about Billy's exciting story to the comic store.
Exactly. So, Billy, I'm going to throw the torch at you now. Catch on fire, please. What have you been up to in Hearthstone recently? Like, what have you been spending this last week on?
Well, I kind of been taking a bit of a break from Hearthstone. Not really like a full-on break. I've been still playing, but whenever I am playing, I'm not really playing anything like ladder or taking the game too seriously. I've mainly just been playing with decks that are built for the Grand Tournament without Grand Tournament cards, which is kind of funny, but it's been fun. Like, my Hobgoblin Paladin deck I played this morning, and I think I won like 7 games before losing, according to my
stats. That's really impressive. What rank are you at?
Rank 10 right now.
Which not bad
obviously
at all.
Not isn't bad at all. Super high or anything, but I haven't been playing at all this season, so.
Yeah. That's still a respectable rank to be winning with non-meta decks. Like, that's good. Yeah. It's not like you're playing at 20 or something.
20 is my home. That's where I need to be.
I kind of wish there was a true home for non-meta decks, but unranked sadly is not that. casual. I'm already calling it unranked, but that's what I think it should be called. So I'm instituting my name. What have you been thinking about you've been spending much time in the Tavern Brawl this week?
Yeah, I have. Like I said, my main thing with the Tavern Brawl is just that sweet Overwatch reference. But as far as actually playing the Tavern Brawl, I don't know. They've done the best they could, obviously, because what they've done is they've put bad cards like Sea Kraken, the new I think it's a 5-cost beast or a 7-cost beast, something like that.
The 5-9 one,
yeah, something like that. Yeah, they put that in there. Those types of cards are cards that aren't going to see play and constructed, and that's what should be in the Tavern Brawl, right? Because they want us to experience those cards because we're not going to experience them in constructed. But that makes it kind of dull to me. But but like I said, they didn't do anything wrong there. That's just kind of what they had to do.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't feel like playing Control Warrior versus Zulok, where these highly tuned decks are going at it with everything they have or something like that.
Right.
It feels a little more like a combination between Arena and Constructed, which makes sense. Your games aren't quite that exciting. But what I want to take a quick poll here. What is everyone's preferred deck of the two they allowed? And that is the Hunter I'm forgetting the name, Joust deck, which is based kind of a mid-rangey to control hunter based around using a bunch of Joust cards, and the Mage Inspire deck, which takes a bunch of the, well, Inspire and Hero Power cards and puts it into a mid-rangey to kind of aggressive deck for Mage. So yeah, Andres, you seem very excited to answer this.
So at first I was really into the Hunter, and I still am. I think it's a really cool deck, how they built it, especially because of Lock and Load. Like, yeah. I was already excited about that card, but now seeing it in action has me really excited and positive.
Really?
I think that card is actually going to make it to Constructed and see some gameplay in certain types of Hunters. It's just so much firepower that you can get out of it in the right turn, especially using it in combination with Tracking and Hunter's Mark, Unleash the Hounds. I don't know, you can have big swing turns and at the same time still refill your hand. And then from the cards that come into your hand, you can still play other cards. I don't know, I had some pretty amazing turns with it. I liked it a lot. But having said that, the more I play the Tavern Brawl, the more fun they grew of the Mage. And at first I was playing it kind of like an aggro deck, like really aggressive, and you can if you get the right hand with that deck. But after playing it more and more, that deck, it just becomes like a really interesting, like a complete different kind of deck that they haven't played before, where the hero power just gains you so much value over time. And there's so many ways to squeeze value out of your hero power to where you can have a long game with that deck. And towards the end you could have like this huge turns. Like I remember I had this turn 9 where I played Ronin and the Frost Giant and like a spell that I had in the same turn. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that deck was surprisingly complex and had a lot of fun decision making to be made because of, like you said, like your hero power. You even need to be thinking like, should I hero power this turn? Because down the line I might draw a Frost Giant and that might change my odds. At the game night, we basically just did this Tavern Brawl for a very long time. And the group decision making for the Mage deck was my favorite part of that. Also, most of our games came really close. I am proud to say that the call I was in did win 5 out of 6 of them.
Nice.
So we were victorious, but it often came down like to the last turn.
Yeah, the decks were pretty well balanced, I feel.
Yeah. So you do a vote for the Mage one in the end then? At least
I go for the Mage just because, I don't know, like all the combos and the complexity in it, like it had some like clunky cards that will probably not see themselves in Constructed because you can add better versions for that.
It got really awkward.
But I don't know, like the core of it though, and the order in which you play the cards and like the way you set up combos for later turns, I thought it was really, really cool. So we'll see how that works out.
What about you, Billy? Preferred deck?
I also prefer the Mage. However, I do have to completely disagree with Andres. I'm in the complete opposite side of Andres' argument here. He said when he first saw Lock and Load, he was super excited about it. When I first saw it, I didn't like it. And he said that the experience in Tavern Brawl has made him even more excited for the card. And I'm even more not excited for the card. Like, I'm very underwhelmed by that card.
What don't you like about Lock and Load?
A random Hunter card is usually pretty bad. And at least in my experience with Tavern Brawl, it's very hard to get that thing to cycle on its own. So in order for it to be good, you need to already have some spells in your hand. And sometimes you have to play Hunter's Mark on things you don't want a Hunter's Mark. I don't like it. I don't think
it was in reality, I got him to go off a lot of times in that Tavern Brawl and have like some pretty amazing turns that got me back into the game.
I won way more Hunter games where I didn't draw Lock and Load because Lock and Load for me was just like a dead card. I don't know why everyone else is having this really opposite point of view with the card, but for me, the card, I don't like the card at all. But I guess we'll see. I think what's going to happen with Lock and Load is people will try it for a couple weeks, figure out that a random Hunter card isn't good, and then stop playing it.
I didn't use Lock and Load myself enough to really judge the value of it. I tended to get Mage a lot more than I got Hunter. And even when I did play Hunter, I don't actually remember getting Lock and Load very often. I think one of the difficulties we're going to see is it seems like it's going to be better in this type of format and deck than it is actually going to be in reality. Because in this type of deck, you don't need to use your... I think it's better in the Tavern Brawl than it'll be outside of the Tavern Brawl.
Oh, okay.
Because I think that outside of the Tavern Brawl, you're going to want to be using your spells much more specifically and sparingly, especially in more specific Hunter decks. Like, you don't want to throw a trap out just to get a spell on the board. You don't want to throw Hunter's Mark just to get a spell on the board. You need to save those cards in very specific scenarios where the board is in your favor. And thus, it's going to be very difficult to get a Hunter a lock and load turn that doesn't, in the end, lose you as much in value as it gained you in card draw by playing these spells at inopportune times all at the same time. So I'm kind of with you, Billy, that I'm very doubtful that this card will be able to do much, but who knows? Maybe I'll be proven wrong, because again, I know
that card seems really random, but once, if you have the right cards to go with it, like kind of like a combo style turn, like Hunter's Mark and Unleash the Hounds. Just or the coin, like even just having the coin with them works too, like saving the coin to use it with lock and load. And sometimes you don't have to wait even that long. You can even do it like on the fifth turn or sixth turn. I've done it in those turns and it's worked out.
Right.
And sometimes you do get like Beast Seal Wrath or something like that. Although sometimes that Beast Seal Wrath might work.
Bad. Yeah. It also triggers it.
But then sometimes you also get like an Unleash the Hound. Sometimes you get Asavada High Main. Sometimes you get quick shot. You can get so many useful things, and you'll be surprised, even by being random, how much value you can get just by getting free cards out of thin air.
Yeah,
like refilling your hand while you're still doing a bunch of actions. Like,
that's true.
Lock and load is cheap enough where you can still have a big turn and then still fill up your hand. Like, that's kind of like a patron warrior, right? I'm not saying it's as powerful as the patron turn, but like when they do the big patron combo and then they do a battle rage and refill their hand, like that is so strong. And lock and load has the potential to do that too.
Yeah, I think the two things I learned about lock and load from this is, one, the 2 mana cost really does help make it playable. Like, I would just be looking down and expect it to be like 3 or 4 mana and be like, oh wait, this is just 2 mana. I can do so much on my turn with this. And the second thing was how good tracking is with it, because not only do you get a draw from playing tracking, not only does tracking only take up 1 mana, but you have the potential to choose another spell from the 3 cards, and really, like, just having lock and load and tracking in your hand can be a playable turn to start your lock and load turn.
Yeah, I also had games where I played 4 Unleash the Hounds.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that sort of thing can happen too with it.
On, yeah.
Wait, how did you play 4 Unleash the Hounds?
Because the deck has 2, and I got 2 more from lock and load.
But 3 plus 3 is 6, and 6 plus 6 is 12, and then plus 2 is 14.
Wait, what?
I'm not saying in the same turn. I'm saying in the
game.
You said the words,
you played Unleash the Hounds 4 times in 1 turn, but I'm assuming what you meant was 4 times in 1 game.
No, I said I played Unleash the Hounds 4 times.
Okay.
I can't remember if it was said in 1 turn or 1 game, but, you know, we have audio archives for this, so I'll go back at some point.
Well, what I meant is in 1 game.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that is very strong.
Yeah, that's true. It has the potential to be very strong. The question is, will it be consistent enough to be played
a lot? Yeah, we'll see how that card turns out. I have a positive attitude towards it.
Yep. Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I want one of us to be trying this out extensively to see what the verdict is. But yeah, for me, it was mostly Tavern Brawl this week, along with just getting up to rank 5 by playing Demon Zoo a ton and getting on a giant win streak. So I was happy about that. We'll see if that can continue into the hard ranks. And before we jump into our card discussion here, Andres, what you do anything much this week besides the Tavern Brawl?
Played a lot of the Tavern Brawl. I'm super excited. I really want to see how the new mechanics were working out. I have some thoughts about them, some things I really liked, some things I was like, oh, I don't know if this is gonna make it. But it's cool to see them in action finally. And then aside from that, I finally got myself to rank 5.
Yes.
Got that Sea Giant chest.
Yes. Billy, yes. It's your turn now.
Oh, it's my turn?
You have to be part of the rank 5 club.
The Sea Giant club.
Well, sure, I'll get there. That'll happen. Don't you worry.
Once TGT hits, you can just take that Hobgoblin deck and write it up to Legend.
They now announced that there's a new chest for Legend players.
The only thing I'm concerned about with my Paladin deck, though, is the, like, Joust is... I can't win Joust. The only thing is, I actually kind of sometimes I'll win gels because like I run Tyrion and Bulbup. Anyway, whatever. Yeah. This isn't a...
I'm scared to death what's going to happen to my Zulok deck that's been so good for me in this latest meta. But we'll see.
Yours is midrange, so like you still have a chance.
It is. It might be able to last with some tweaks. So we'll see what happens. All right. So there have been way too many cards announced with this last dump. They dumped. Do you know what the number was, Billy? I did not.
Half. So
half of them. So like. How many cards were there total in this? Like 130?
About 70 more cards, right?
Gotcha. Yeah. So somewhere around there. That's way too many to talk about in one episode. So what we did is instead of bringing our personal topics of discussion this week or just discussing all the cards, we kind of combined the two ideas by each of us brought five cards to talk about that were our personal choices from the most recent dump of new cards.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just... go through those. So we're going to do one from me, then one from Billy, then one from Andres, and go through that cycle five times until we're done with all the cards we brought. So it's going to be 15 cards for people who don't like to do math, in which case I say maybe you shouldn't be playing Hearthstone competitively. But hey, that's your that's your choice. So the first card I have here is Arcane Blast. And the link I had for it is not working because it's being annoying. There we go. An Arcane Blast is a mage spell, an epic spell. It costs one mana and it reads, deal two damage to a minion. This spell gets double bonus from spell damage. So that would be like if you have spell damage plus one on the board, this would deal four damage instead of two, etc. With Maligos, it would deal... I don't own Maligos. Remind me, what is the spell damage buff for him?
Five. So it would go up to... 14. Math is hard. Yeah, that one.
12, right? Because you get a 10
yep.
benefit from the 5. So yeah, 12.
That's
pretty insane. One mana for 12 damage. It can even be played with Maligos on turn 10, which, you know, is always nice to have when you're running a Maligos deck. So this card, obviously the big question is whether spell damage cards will be played, because right now, other than Maligos, they're like completely out of the meta.
Thalnos so is also around.
Thalnos, you're right. Thalnos is totally also run. Again, I don't own Thalnos, so he didn't slip my mind. But yeah, I know you were super excited about spell damage mage, Andres. Do you think this like points towards that?
There's a lot of more spell power cards that are coming in, especially with Ronin out. Mm-hmm. And there's the knight that gains spell power over time, every time you you inspire.
Right.
So I don't know. I can either see a very aggressive mage, kind of like the tempo mage that is now with like a Ronin added in it. And mm-hmm. then it would also be interesting to experiment maybe with more of a control oriented with Maligos finisher style kind of a spell power deck with Ronin in it too. And maybe like a Thorazon where you can like draw a bunch of cards over time and then just do a huge combo where you just... fire missiles all over the place and do huge amounts of damage with this card. What's the name of it?
Arcane Blast.
I don't know if it would be worth it maybe running two or just one as like the combo piece.
Mm-hmm. One annoying thing about this card that actually I missed the first time I read it is it's only damage to a minion. So like it's good for removal for that type of deck, but it's not going to be a finisher with Maligos or something.
Damages minions.
Yeah, which does make it less, because like 2 damage from one is already
just
fine.
So we can get this on the table, if this card didn't read to a minion, it would actually be overpowered.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah,
this,
that would be.
Yeah, this changes things.
Mage cannot have a deal 2 damage 1 mana spell. Absolutely cannot.
So if it's only to a minion, this has to be run in a deck that has spell power. And if the deck doesn't take advantage of a spell power, this card is kind of useless.
A little bit. Billy, like, what's
there's
your
better
thought?
Removal, right? You just rather run a Frostbolt.
Well, this card is very strange. So once it happens, is. Once the effect happens, once you've pulled off the dream of running all your spell damage cards and you play this card, it's going to deal 4 damage. Now,
not necessarily.
Yes, well, unless you have multiple spell damage out. But right now, let's just assume that you have one spell damage out. This is going to deal 4 damage. What's another card in the game, assuming I have a minion on the board that's going to deal 4 damage anyway? Flame Cannon, because that can be one mana deal 4 damage if I'm running a good card like Sorcerer's Apprentice rather than running a bad card like Cabal Geomancer.
It is random, though, and really
yes,
good.
It's random, but this in the early game, it's very easy to control what it's going to hit, or the only targets are going to be good unless it's like a Haunted Creeper, and then you have to... Point being, the only advantage to this card is the fact that it is not random. And now to make a targetable flame cannon, I have to run bad cards in my deck, like Cabal Geomancer and things like that, which I do not like. Although I will say there is another card in the set, which we will not get a chance to talk about today, is the... I forget how much it costs, but... Oh, it's a 4-cost 2-6 spell damage plus 1. That is a sticky spell damage card, which currently doesn't exist.
That's true. You forget the 1-4 Dalaran Mage.
Nope.
All right, fair enough.
That does exist. But I don't know. I kind of agree with Billy here a little bit. Like, there's better removal for the deck that is right now, like that Tempo Mage, which is the closest, like, kind of like spell based mage that there is right now. This could be better against like a mid range deck, like against a druid. This card could be really good because you could get rid of their big stuff for one mana, which is a huge tempo loss for them. But again, you need the spell power synergy. So I guess like Drake's, Thalnos, we'll see if some of the new TGT cards can make it with the spell power. We'll see. I'm just afraid that they might be too slow.
I feel like this card, because it's not actually a win condition or anything new for Mage, is not going to necessarily itself get people to play spell power damage stuff. So if the other stuff they're including, like, Billy, you mentioned that new spell power card, as well as that Master of Ceremonies or whatever the card is that becomes like a 6-4 or whatnot when you have spell power out, like if those encourage people to use spell power, then this will benefit from it. But I don't think this card will be getting people to play spell power. So, yeah, I'm iffy about it as well. So, Andres, what is your first card you brought us today?
My first card is the new Polymorph Boar. I think it's a quite interesting card with a lot of possibilities. This card is very versatile. One, it still kind of serves the purpose of getting one of those big minions down to a small body.
Right. Can you read off the card real quick?
Oh, absolutely. Polymorph Boar. Transform minion into a 4-2 boar with charge. So basically, it makes into a huffer.
Right.
It's also worth noting that this is a 3-mana card.
Yeah, 3-mana rare and a 3-mana card. Mage spell.
Yes.
So I like, you were saying it can reduce. It can obviously like polymorph. It can make a really good creature become really weak.
Yeah.
But then it has the double effect of helping your creatures become a 4-2 boar charge. So it's like a huffer. Sacrifice a minion and gain huffer.
Yeah.
I think this card can single-handedly make an only an aggressive face mage deck, which is quite scary to me, because it's a face deck that doesn't need to be running IMB cows, because now you can run this boar card, which essentially is an IMB cow in the sense that it gets past taunt. And 3-mana deal 4 damage. Granted, isn't great, but deal 4 damage to your opponent's face on top of your fireballs, on top of your frostbolts, on top of your, you know, insert damage card the mage has, insert charge card here, insert abusive sergeant. You know, that there's so many things that I think we're going to see a really, really aggressive mage deck come out because of this card.
It's funny to me because I agree with that.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Andres.
I was just going to say that I agree with Billy because... It's not only that, you can attack with a minion and then polymorph it and you can attack again. I don't know if you guys have seen
really
that.
That's really aggressive. Yeah, I've done that.
If you, even if you have two, you can attack with a minion, polymorph it, then polymorph it again to attack three times. Which for an aggressive deck, which doesn't really want to run polymorph because four mana to just, you know, get rid of a threat is kind of slow, goes against the strategy, but this, it helps you get rid of a big threat, or it just helps you push for extra damage.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite part of this card, is it feels flavor-wise almost like a druid card, and it basically has a choose one. Do you want to polymorph your opponent's creature to 2 health, or do you want to create yourself a creature with charge that can do 4 attacks? So it's like, it's really versatile in that way. I mean, the 4-2 is also good as removal itself, so you could make one of your creatures into a board just to remove something.
Absolutely. Sometimes you have Polymorph in your hand, and it's a dead card because there's nothing for you to use it. This, on the other hand, might allow you to turn, I don't know, like a mirror image or a weak minion into the 4-2 boar.
Yep. I'm a big fan of Polymorph Board, just partially because it gives you so many options for, and it's pretty low mana cost.
Yeah, really cool card. I really like cards like this, and these are the type of cards that make it into constructed decks, right? Cards that give you a lot of versatility and are useful in many types of situations.
Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of it. All right, Billy, speaking of versatile and giving you a lot of options in many situations, what is your first card?
My first card is a card that we were all hoping for. This is an insane card. This is a three-cost... Sorry, I should mention his name because his name is really, really cool. I like this name a lot. His name is Fencing Coach. He's a three-cost 2/2 minion with Battlecry. The next time you use your hero power, it costs 2 less. So... The reason, like, this card has so much value. So, like, imagine that this is a 1-cost 2/1 creature. Because essentially you're paying for the hero power now, right? So you take the mana of the hero power off the card and then just look at his stats. So 1 mana 2/2. That's pretty good.
That's not bad at all.
And this enables so many mechanics that otherwise wouldn't have been very good. Like, we talked about Wilfred Frizzlebang. I think even on the episode that we talked about Wilfred Frizzlebang, I said, unless there's a card that lets you use your hero power for free, Wilfred won't be good, or something along those lines.
So what this basically allows you to do is when we were evaluating pretty much every Inspire card, we were adding that 2 mana on. Like, well, you're going to play this 5 mana card on turn 7, so you can play it and guarantee at least one Inspire effect. What this card allows you to do is bank that mana on an earlier turn, like the turn before, basically save that mana, and then be able to get it for that next turn when you play the Inspire creature. So, yeah, that's crazy.
Indeed.
It's an interesting card because is it like an exchange, right? You incur a tempo loss on your third turn by playing a subpar minion, a 2/2 for 3 mana. It's not exciting, right, when there's a lot of 3/4s for 3 mana. But you bank it for a later tempo gain that you can combo with a Inspire card, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can also use it for cards like Sarad, the Ethereal that's in the Camel, the Ethereal Camel.
Yeah.
Or cards like that. Yeah, you can save them up so they can get immediate value out of them without fear of, like, losing them.
I think it gives a buff to all of these Inspire cards we've been talking about, especially the later Inspire cards. Like, this isn't that exciting for something like Lily Squire. But it's really exciting for stuff like Sarad, stuff like the Kodo.
Yeah, so it's like
writer.
It's like a setup card. That's the way
I'm very proud of Lily Squire. Lily Squire has been mentioned every single episode since the Grand Tournament was announced. Very
you know,
proud
he's
of
kind
him.
Of an MVP. He was even in the Tavern Brawl.
Yeah, he was. He was actually quite charismatic.
Right?
When he comes in, he's like, are we using real swords? Or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, this card also, like, it's okay in itself, even if you're not setting up for a huge turn. Like, you get something on the board, you can get a little tempo gain. For example, you're at a point where they have a 1 health minion you really want to remove, but you also want to develop your board. Instead of, like, using your hero power on turn 3, you can at least, like, develop your board on turn 3. So, like, there are some options with it.
Even
go back
for
to the versatility.
Maybe, like, aggro, you can, like, play it on hero power in the same turn if maybe you want to get rid of something.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's not the most impressive card to me. I think is like a combo deck style card. Will it see play? I'm not sure, but for sure it allows for some really interesting interactions with the Inspire mechanic.
Totally. I think there's no question. This card absolutely sees play.
I think in the right decks that run one of those
I'm not discounting it, but this one I'm really on the fence. Just like, I don't know, it's just
on the fence.
Yeah.
I get the reticence.
It's kind of like
a
double pun there, because, like, Fencing Coach clearly isn't a coach that teaches you how to, like, lay fence. He's teaching you, like, the sport fencing.
That's
right?
True. That's
so
true.
So are you really sitting on the fence, or are you, like, fisting? Are you, like, fencing with my brain here? Are you poking at me with thoughts?
This is hard.
I feel like you're poking at me with thoughts.
We'll see what this card can do.
We will. Speaking of a card that's hard to evaluate, we've got my second card here. It is a Paladin Epic card. It costs 6 mana. It is called Enter the Colosseum, and it reads, destroy all minions except each player's highest attack minion. So, obviously, this is like Brawl, but not is the quickest way to describe this card and how it affects the game. I like it. I think it's pretty cool. It's nice being able to have more control about what factors are going to happen in Brawl. There are a lot of Paladin cards that can make this interesting. Stuff like Humility and Following the Rules can help you manipulate this. as well as things like Blessing of Might if you want to keep certain of your cards, etc. Billy, any initial thoughts on this card?
It's super interesting. What's kind of strange is Control Paladin, which I'm assuming is where you're going to put this card. History has it that Control Paladin is extremely strong against every other control deck and kind of weak mm-hmm. against aggro. And this is kind of the opposite. This is kind of bad against other control decks because their high attack minions are going to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have a bunch of... Maybe you'll have a bunch of dudes out on the board because you're hero power, so...
And yeah, typically control doesn't play a lot of minions, so you might be getting rid of, like, one with
yeah,
this.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird. I don't think this will see play, but I do like Paladin getting kind of a one-card solution instead of a quality Consecrate, which they right. can still... They're probably going to run over this, but I still like the fact that they're giving Paladin more options because that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I think this card is pretty good. I can see it seeing play in a pretty greedy, like, Control Paladin deck, especially if you just, you know, not have a single Tyrion on the board and just want to kind of wipe their board and stuff like that and keep what you have. A lot of your tokens, you don't mind losing that much if you have a few tokens on the board. So, I don't know. I like the card. I think it, like you said, it provides another good board clear option for the Paladins and might help the super control late game Paladins we're seeing, but... It's one of those cards that the specifics of the effect will be really interesting to see in practice. Like, how much does it hurt or help you, depending on the different classes you're facing? So, I like it. I think it could see play. What about you, Andres?
Yeah, I'm not sure about this one, because it's definitely for a control paladin, right? There's mm-hmm. no way you're running this in an aggro paladin.
Yeah.
So, maybe like a dragon paladin. Something like that, where you can maybe play Consort on 5, then on 6 you play this. The cool thing about this one is that the minion that survives can attack on that turn, right? If you have a minion on board.
Yes.
Unlike Brawl, which if your minion dies, you're kind of screwed there. But against control, this card is so bad.
Yeah, it doesn't really do much because, again, you're not going to be seeing some huge board from control, and your biggest threats are the high attack ones. It's typically running.
So maybe I could see it like as a tech card in a control paladin. If you're running into an aggressive meta game, maybe run one of this, kind of like as a light bomb for like priest or as a brawl for warrior to just get rid of like that aggression, like zoo and that sort of deck.
Like, it's a good anti-patron card.
It's dead, yeah.
That's still around.
Yeah.
You can pretty much remove that for sure. But it's one of those cards that, like, you don't necessarily want your anti-aggro card to be on 6 mana and still leave them with a creature up. Like, that's not your optimal play against aggro. You typically like to have earlier solutions.
Having said that, though, I think that paladins are getting some tools for the dragon paladin, which might in turn make some people experimenting with this in that sort of deck.
Yeah, all right. Sounds like I like that this card is in the game, but we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, the artwork is absolutely amazing.
Yes, the artwork is splendiferous, as the kids like to say. Andres, what is your second card?
Talking about dragons.
Dragons!
My second card is the Twilight Guardian. It's a 4-mana, 2/6 dragon that says Battlecry. If you're holding a dragon, gain +1 attack and taunt.
So a 3/6 with taunt, is that the same stats as the Fen Creeper?
It is. It is.
For 1 mana less.
1 mana cheaper.
Okay.
So basically, I think what this card is what dragon decks have been needing to bridge that early game with the late game and also give him a dragon that is consistent enough to hold aggression and to be able to carry them into the late game where they're going to flourish. Because the thing is, the options that they have right now, for example, Twilight Drake, is just not enough because it's a little too slow and they can just ignore it or they can owl it and kill it. And it's
against aggro, it's not much use.
Yeah, it's so vulnerable. But this, on the other hand, has the taunt rolled into it. And I just remember back when Brian Kibler was making his dragon deck work, his main observation was that he needed a mid-range dragon taunt, and he kept saying about it, and I think that this is it. This is what the dragon people were waiting for.
Is this the first dragon with taunt?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Billy, you're typically much cooler on the dragon front. What do you think about this one? Does this strike you as a good dragon card or another trick?
It's interesting, right? I also recently have been playing with Fen Creeper on my EU account because I don't I don't have a Sludge Belcher because I don't have Nexramas yet. But Fen Creeper isn't even that bad of a card. Like Fen Creeper,
this is true.
Yeah, you know, it's not terrible. Granted, it's not run and constructed because Sludge Belcher is obviously like way better.
But yeah, this is Sludge one Belcher, less.
Yeah. If you can get this to trigger, I mean, this card's really good. I still don't think people tried Hungry Dragon enough. For instance, I never saw like a list where someone was running Acolytes of Pain and things that like value off of your opponent having a minion. I wish more people tried that. But this card is definitely a much better 4-drop for dragon decks, and I'm excited to see what people come up with. Unfortunately, I won't be messing around with it because I'll be too busy making a couple different paladin decks and shaman decks and things. So
now I want to see your dragon rogue come back.
I would still. I probably wouldn't actually run this card in that deck.
Oh, okay.
But
darn it,
it's still cool.
Yeah, I think it's like it's a card that's a proven concept. Like this kind of effect for this much mana. Like we've seen this in, even the Sinjin Shieldmaster isn't a bad card, and this is better. So. Yeah, I mean, it's a, what, Sinjin with one more health if it does what it's supposed to do, and it has the dragon effect,
and
which
we
is
need
huge
to remember
dragon
that dragon matters. Like, dragon is a strong effect.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm a fan of this card as well, so yay, Twilight Guardian. Billy, card number two.
Card number two is actually a card that might see a bit of a splash in the meta. We have Saboteur, which is a 3-cost 4/3 minion with a battle cry. Your opponent's hero power costs 5 more next turn.
Right. This is an interesting note. I believe this is why Fencing Coach, is that it? Is it Fencing Coach? Was specifically said your hero power is not free. It said it costs 2 less because this card can still counter. Even if someone plays Fencing Coach, you can play Saboteur and be like, ho, ho, ho.
People have been evaluating Saboteur as a counter to Inspire decks, and then they've been saying that Saboteur, therefore, is bad because you're not going to always verse Inspire decks, and also Inspire decks might not even be good.
Right.
Saboteur is not just a counter for that. Saboteur is really good against Warrior because you're shutting down their hero power, so they can't hero power Shield Slam. You are shutting down Hunter's 2 damage for the turn. And I say shutting down, they can still spend it for 7 mana, but I don't think they're going to use it for 7 mana.
No, especially if you play it on turn 3 or whatever.
Because now they can't even like unleash the Hound's Kill Command, Hero Power, they can't Arcane Golem, insert. The only thing they can do is play a 3-cost card and Hero Power, which isn't very good. I think Saboteur is a card that people are incredibly undervaluating, and I am very excited to see it. I'm going to be running this in a lot of decks.
4/3 for 3 is also respectable stats. Like,
I was going to say that the stats are on point on this guy.
Right.
And if Inspired decks become popular and they become it's a strong kind of deck, this guy would be amazing, right? Because if you encounter them a lot, solid stats, you put them behind, I can see them definitely being run.
I think it's going to be hilarious you see Druid versus Handlock, and like Handlock is so excited to claim tap or just like play tap or whatever, and Druid's just like innovate Saboteur, haha.
It strands Handlock at those important turns. Yeah, if you play it on 3 and you're going first, and Handlock's like, this is such an awkward turn.
Yeah,
like what do I do?
Having said that, depending on what you're running against, like you might want to run a different 3-drop. But if you're getting a lot of value from this effect, depending on the decks you're running against, like, definitely this guy is solid.
Yeah, I know I say this about a lot of cards, but this card, more than most, is going to be so meta-dependent on, like, how often are Inspires being used.
I don't even think so. Like, that was my argument at the start of this card. I think this card isn't even meta-dependent. Like, I think this is a good tech card, which is good in every matchup. Like, a 3-mana 4/3 isn't that bad.
In, like, what type of deck? Like, an aggressive kind of style?
Anything, really. I can't think of anything that would be true. Bad
would you
in
put this in
like
Patron Warrior?
Well, no, because it's a combo deck. Combo decks.
I think
Bill
is saying it's good against any deck. Like,
yeah,
it's okay.
I'm saying that this deck is also. I'm saying that this card is also actually good in anything that isn't combo or face. So mid range or control.
And I think we agree with that. He has solid stats, and his effect is useful even if you're not running against Inspire.
Right.
But the question here is, would it be more useful to have a different card in your third slot if you're not getting that much value out of his effect?
I think it could come in sometimes. I just meant by being more meta-dependent. I didn't mean meta-dependent to even be playable. I mean the amount of play it sees will be more meta-dependent than most. The amount of decks it'll go in.
Okay.
But I agree with you, Billy, that it's not just like, this is useless if there aren't a ton of Inspire
decks
out
there. For sure. Okay.
I totally thought that's where you were going, and I was like, no, I must defend my prize saboteur.
I get that. I agree with you on that, so... All right, we got another card here, another card Billy and I may disagree about. I'm actually curious. This is Sparring Partner. It is a warrior card. It is rare, minion. It costs 2 mana, has 3 attack and 2 health, and it reads, taunt, battle cry, give a minion taunt. I love this card.
Ancient
I go back
Watcher
to my
warrior?
Versatility. It's back to my Turtle Warrior. It's also the versatility of this card is fantastic, because if anything's hiding behind a taunt, if you're running Black Knight, you have ways to kill things. Like if you have a Thorsen hiding behind a taunt or an Acolyte.
I hadn't thought of that. It definitely synergizes with Black Knight.
Yeah. And you're just like, hey, you minion hiding in the back there behind a Sludge Belcher, let's get you up to the front here so we can whack you with this wooden sword. So like it gives you a lot of interesting options. And yeah, in this lower meta, Black Knight could be back, especially with these amazing taunt cards coming out, like that dragon and that 5/6 that can get Divine Shield, and all these taunt cards are going to want to be removing. I could see Black Knight making a huge return, especially if you can guarantee for 8 mana you can remove any minion in the game.
So there's one other card that is similar to this, and that is the Druid card that gives +2/+2 and taunt, right?
And Rusty Horn, the spare part, is similar as well.
Right. Although, I'd say the other one, because the other one also... What's the name of that Druid card, by the way?
Mark of the Wild.
Mark of the Wild. It also costs 2 mana and gives +2/+2. So technically, you get more stats and a minion out of that, which in...
Whoa, you need to evaluate Taunt as roughly a 2... As roughly like 1/1. So, I would actually argue that that's not comparable, because Taunt, I think, is valued roughly at a 1/1 or maybe a 1/2.
Sure. You give taunt and +2/+2, right? With this one, you get taunt and you get a 3/2 minion.
And then another taunt.
And then another
taunt. Because you get taunt on the sparring partner.
You
and
have
you get
to kind of look at this card as like a 2 mana 5/2? Oh my god.
This is really good.
No.
It's a really good card.
I think it's a good card, especially for the type of deck that you're picturing, the taunt warrior. Yeah.
Bolster!
Where you can run really, really heavy health minions and then just taunt them up.
Yeah.
Like, even like Ancient Watchers and stuff like that.
Yeah. I love this card. Billy, I really am curious if you are with me on this or if you are not.
No. Okay, so what I think this card was added to the game for, we've seen this in the past with them adding cards for future expansions in a current expansion.
Okay.
What I think, and the reason I came up with this is Halfpone recently did a thing where they got some information from the latest patch, and what they saw was a bunch of references in the game's code to a partner. Now, this partner was in reference to what they're assuming is a solo adventure, because it says something along the lines of, congratulations, you've both defeated the boss, or whatever, right? Uh-huh. And there's also some references to... some cards which are coming from that and stuff like that. But anywho, I think this is a card which is designed for a 2v2 mode, because we've seen slight... We've contemplated that before, right?
Right.
And how that would work, and we've asked for that before, and they've never really said anything about it. But I think those references to the game files that Halfpone found, I think this is going to be used in a future expansion, is what I'm saying.
I think
it can work in a 2v2 mode, right, if you think about it like that, but I don't know if it was designed with that in mind. I think it was more designed with what do we have right now in mind.
I think the awkward thing about this card is that it does require having another minion, and it's a 2-drop, and that's not typically what you want from the 2-drop, because typically, especially in more control decks, you won't have another minion out.
So I also want to mention... that what I mean by what I was saying is not specifically just this card, but I mean the whole buff taunt minions thing that Warrior right. is going for. I think
all
that,
of the,
that
yeah.
currently right now wouldn't work, but in a 2v2 mode where you could both be playing taunt minions, that
yeah.
could be
stuff like Bolster becomes
a bit
way
more
better.
Interesting. Yeah.
I actually yeah. think that that taunt warrior can be very viable. No. I don't know. Like yeah. a very tough, a lot of armor and a lot of stall. I think you can run out of steam a lot of the decks that are in the metagame right now.
How many yeah, gold Shire Footmans am I running in that deck?
7.
Okay, cool.
But I think Sparring Partner to me reminds me a lot of Shrinkmeister and Priest. It's not run in every Priest deck, but it's a 2-drop that is also kind of more a utility card as well later in the game that can kind
Definitely.
Of give you that little extra boost you need. Like, you don't want to be playing it on turn 2 on an empty board, mm-hmm. but it's okay to play on turn 2, especially. It'll be interesting to see how much aggro is around, but if you like coin out Armorsmith and then play Sparring Partner against aggro, it's just like good game at that point. Like, what could they possibly do to stop you once you do that? It's just like there are some crazy combinations you can
We're
get.
We're going to need
card.
A mini Black Knight.
Yeah, mini Black Knight or something might do it. And then if you sparring, okay, if you coin Armorsmith, Sparring Partner, Bolster the next turn, then. Wow, you have some interesting things in the field. So I'm still for this card. I think the synergies allow it to be used late game and early game, but it's slightly anti-synergistic with a taunt-focused deck where giving taunt to things that already have taunt doesn't yeah. help too much, which is why I think you can make a taunt warrior that doesn't run a ton of taunt minions. It runs a lot of control warrior minions, sparring partners, maybe a couple new taunt
yeah,
minions.
I think they really wanted enough. To embrace that, like, that flavor of warrior of just yeah. being like a meat shield, impenetrable, yeah. just like, I'm not going to kill you, but I'm not going to die, and you're going to die by not being able to kill me, pretty much.
Right. Granted,
I've thought
if
about
Black
this
Knight-
card a lot.
Sure.
Because I really was trying to dive into the psyche of Blizzard, because I don't understand this taunt warrior thing at all. I think you guys are completely off. I don't think this will work at all. I don't think it will even come close to working. It's very strange to me. I think that this is cards like Bolster and cards like this to me scream something where your opponent, where your teammates can be playing good minions and you can be playing all these bad cards, and therefore they're slightly better because you can use it on their minions. Like, I don't know. This sucks.
Are
I don't
you
like
talking about 2v2?
Yeah, what I'm saying is like,
this
whole
like...
taunt thing has to be a 2v2 thing in my mind, because like this doesn't make any sense at all to me. Like this, the
wait,
whole
I don't
taunt
know.
Direction
I don't think,
doesn't.
I don't think you can be like, oh, this is not gonna work for what we have right now, but it will work for an imaginary mode that is not out.
Well, it's definitely not imaginary. This is definitely a thing. There are file go. I'll link to you it on Skype. But
yeah, but that was adventures. Not I don't see
right.
taunt being particularly valuable in adventures most of the time. Like maybe.
Well, the reference directly is
it.
to a solo adventure, right? But I
exactly.
feel like if they're implementing a UI system that mm-hmm. two of you can be on the screen at once fighting
yeah,
another
I mean,
person,
it might be coming.
I feel
yeah.
like that's like. Come on, just like put that in.
Yeah,
take
but
the outer right.
That, that could be what Brian said, like an adventure thing where it's just one fight.
No.
Well, there's he starting with that, yes, but it might be testing grounds
sure.
for an
yeah.
actual.
I think
PB2
if
mode.
If Hawthorne is right about this, which I mean, if you go look at the game files, it's I'm almost positive
I'm
they're right
I'm
about
not discrediting
this.
That
if they are
be
right about this,
like this,
I would say that if a solo adventure was to happen like that, it would launch with the mode. Because
okay.
that just makes sense to me.
Yeah, and yeah. sure, I'm not discrediting that that might happen in the future, and I hope that it does. 2v2 mode sounds fantastic, but I don't know. For the sake of these cards, I think it's more important that we try to think about them in the context of what we have right now, rather than like
right.
a 2v2 mode that we don't even know.
I get your thought process there, Billy. If you think this card's useless, you're trying to think, like, what could its potential effect be? But yeah, this is going to be the last time we bring up Taunt Warrior and I knew for our cards, and I knew this would be a pretty big point of contention. I think that Taunt Warrior can potentially work because I actually don't think it's going to be very different from Control Warrior, and Control Warrior works so well that I think it's Control Warrior with just a slight bit more emphasis on taunts, and I don't see why that's so unplayable, but we'll see how things turn out over time, and maybe there will just be other cards that are more valuable than these kind of taunt-centric cards for Warrior, but yeah, we'll see with time. Andres, let's go over your next card here.
All right, my next card. When I saw this guy, I almost fell out of my chair because I had never seen an effect like this. It's pretty cool. It's called the Mistcaller. It's the new Shaman Legendary. 6 mana, 4/4. Not as impressive in the stats, but the battle cry reads, give all minions in your hand and deck +1/+1. So this to me is like aggro's Tharasan, right? Like if you have, especially a shaman deck, we're so board centric.
Like, you think this is an aggro card? How is this an aggro card?
I feel like it's definitely like a mid range minion centric card. Like, why would you run this card in a deck that is not filled with minions and you're constantly fighting for board control?
Okay. Well,
so you mean like aggressive mid range?
Like, yeah, like an
that's
like
interesting.
A board
I think
board
this
centric.
Card is, I disagree. Like, the effect of adding +1/+1, assuming that what you're talking about, like a mid range deck, right? Doing that, the game is probably going to end within the next 3-4 turns, right? So you're playing a 6 mana 4/4, give +4/+4 to something, right? I don't know. It just doesn't. This card,
wait,
I doubt.
Where are you
is,
getting +4/+4 from?
Are you assuming one minion?
I'm
turn?
Assuming you're playing a card every turn. This card seems really weak to me. Like, it doesn't seem like you're ever going to be wanting to run this.
It gives all minions in your deck, not just the ones in your hand.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you're only going to. Like, this is a turn 6 card. So, assuming that. I'll put it in all perspectives. If you're playing aggro, this card is way too slow. If you're playing mid-range, this card doesn't have a big enough benefit. If you're playing control, there's better cards to be running.
I think this card is going to be a staple in most of the new Shaman decks that are going to come out. For example, the Torin Shaman, where you from the get-go are getting super valuable minions with high stats, and you can have board control up to turn 6, and then you play this guy, because I imagine in a deck where everything is very efficient at holding board control, right? Mm-hmm. You have like Rockbiter weapon, you have all these minions with incredible stats, you have your totems plus Flame Tongue. By the time you get to turn 6, you're gonna have board control. Then you're gonna play this dude, which your opponent's gonna have to deal with. It's a 4/4, it's not hard to deal with, but still has to deal with him. And then from that point on, everything that you play is going to have insane stats. It, like, Shaman already has cards with insane stats. With this, it's going to have even more insane stats. From that point on, your opponent is going to have such a hard time just getting valuable trades or removing your minions that you're going to be super far ahead.
But this is what I mean, Andres. If you're running that type of deck, first of all, I don't know how you're fitting 30 cards in a Totem Shaman deck, but let's assume that you are.
I mean, have you seen the new Totem Shaman cards?
Yeah, I've rolled into them. This isn't good enough. Like, don't you just run? Assuming that's what you're going for, right? And you have board control. What you're explaining to me is a very very win more card. So like in my head, why don't you just run like Doomhammers and kill your opponent instead of like
playing
good minions?
Why would you compare this to a Doomhammer though?
No, because if you're talking about a situation where you have full board control at this point in the game, which is turn 6, right? At this point in the game, I want to be winning the game. So if I have full board control by turn 6, why can't I just play a like even a Bloodlust? Like, why don't I just do that? You know what I mean?
I think one of the potential benefits for this card is I've been playing a lot of like Zulok, and something that can happen later in Zulok is you don't necessarily have full board control, like 4 or 5 creatures on the board against nothing, but you know, you'll be going back and forth and you might be having their health down about 10 points, and it's getting into the later game and you're like, uh-oh, I'm starting to run out of fuel. This mid-range hunter might beat me. My cards are starting to have less value. Like, I don't have, all of my cards are a little bit too weak to being played. They're a little bit too geared towards early game. But if you could just have a card that suddenly buffs all your cards to be more playable for mid to late game, that can kind of give you that overall fuel boost you need to keep playing, even if you're not quite at the point where you can just close the game out.
Like,
you are right about that, but Shaman doesn't have that issue, right? Shaman has a lot of things that it can play at that point in the game, or like things that can help you finish out without that effect,
Well, it does have the great turn six fire elemental. That's true.
Right. But what I'm saying is you're talking about a situation where you've kind of ran out of steam, right? And mm-hmm. and you want better stuff.
Right.
Shaman doesn't have that issue if it's going for a mid-rangey slash aggro style, because it can just win the game with Doomhammers and Rockbiters and Crackles and Lightning Bolts and Lava Bursts if it wants to, if it's going all in for that type of strategy.
You're saying it has so much reach.
Yeah, what I'm saying is the deck doesn't need... I'll go as far as to say it's the deck, but the deck and the class doesn't need this card. So, I don't understand.
I think we're going to have to disagree on that one. I think the exact opposite of what you just said. I think this effect is exactly what Shaman wants, and especially what Totem Shaman is going to want. And
If this affected totems, I would agree with you. But, like, if this read Battle Cry from here on out throughout the entire game, give +1/+1 to any minion summoned on your side of the field, then sure.
Well, it basically says that.
No, it doesn't, because it doesn't give Death Rattle stuff +1. It doesn't give totems +1, and that is a bad thing. Especially because that deck is going to be running.
I don't know if you're going to be running like Death Rattles and that sort of thing. Like,
okay, well,
you can think of this card in relation to everything in the game, right? You're thinking this card in relation to a very specific type of deck. It's a deck where it's running.
In that
like,
type of deck, you're running totems, right? And the only totems that you can be fitting in your deck. Flame Tongue Totem, the 2/4, the 3/4, and the, what's the other one? The Tuskar Jouster, not Tuskar Jouster, the Tuskar...
Yeah, the Tuskar 3/2 that summons the totem.
Tuskar Totemic. Yeah. He would only become a 4/3, and it would summon in the random thing that wouldn't be getting the buff. So, what you're talking about, this card doesn't even work in that, so that's why I don't like this card. You know what I mean?
Why?
Like, it's
work
only
in
affecting
that?
It's only affecting a very small portion of the deck, like the deck that I'm imagining anyway. I don't know how you're imagining this mystical totem deck with 30 cards. Like, I don't get it.
One thing I do agree with Billy about is I think I'd prefer to see this in other decks. Like, I think this might be able to help Warlock more than Shaman, but
like you say, like in a Zoo kind of thing.
Yeah, I could see something like that really helping, but because just you have so many minions in that
Although,
deck, and
Shaman is a little bit Sue-ish in that sense, especially like the Totem Shaman. I imagine it being like a little bit Sue-ish, where you take the board early on and you don't lose, and you try not to lose it.
That's true, especially with this might actually combo pretty well with that card draw we were seeing for Shaman, so you can start drawing into some of these powerful cheap minions, but...
We'll see how this card turns out. I honestly have high hopes for it. I'm definitely going to try it out in that new totem-style Shaman deck, because I think it's going to be a very strong deck to come.
Speaking of Shaman, Billy, we've got your third card. This is Shaman here.
Yes, we have Elemental Destruction. I am super excited about this card, by the way.
Yes.
Okay. So this card is a 3-cost card, and it reads, deal 4-5 damage to all minions. Overload 5.
This is another card I misread upon first reading. It's not all enemy minions.
No, all minions. But it's fine, because you won't have minions on the board, because your only minion in your deck is Malygos.
And that goes back to this deck, and I kind of agree with you that I don't think this works except in the Malygos deck. Like, in the deck Andres, a.k.a. Shaman, was talking about, this would be terrible, because you're trying to build board presence, and then you smack a hammer on it, kill them all, and then overload
yourself.
Would not
run this card in that deck. Absolutely not.
And I'm starting to buy your Malygos theory, Billy. Like, this card is another card that just, like, works in that deck and not really any others.
Right. It's a board clear that they didn't otherwise have. I mean, they had Lightning Storm in the sense that that could clear up some board, but that's only really early game board. You couldn't really do anything about the mid game. And the fact that they have this card now is kind of game changing. I mean, I think this card could impact the meta greatly.
My favorite part of this card, actually, is the flavor text, which is, I'm not a shaman or anything, but isn't Elemental Destruction the opposite of what they want to do? I love that flavor text.
That's pretty good.
But yeah, okay, Andres, I just want to quickly get your way in here. Do you think the Malygos thing is going to be a way shaman?
Malygos shaman? Are you talking about like an ancestral
call?
Call.
One minion in your deck. We never joust.
I don't know. It would be that'll be kind of like a compass style deck. And with Tharsan and a couple like other cards that are out there, then you draw a card. Like there might be enough tools to make something like that work, especially with mm-hmm. Elemental Destruction, where you can have a huge board clear that they didn't have. Because before, like, Lightning Storm was the only thing, but Lightning Storm kind of has a ceiling and can't reach past that. It's not high ceiling either. So this one is kind of like the little bit of reach that you needed. Especially to have spell power in the deck.
Wouldn't Mind Games be such a hard counter to that deck, though? Like, sorry, game over. I played Mind Games, you lose.
So, like, this is the thing, though. This card, like, it kind of encourages you to run Lava Shock in that deck, right? To avoid that Overload 5, because that Overload 5 is painful.
Right, I think you're already going to be running Lava Shock, though, because you need a guarantee that you have damage in your hand, and the issue with that deck is you need to use your damage, but also use it to clear the board, so it's kind of awkward, so you end up running Lava Shock just as a DL2 damage spell anyway, so this will already fit in that deck. Yeah. Also, just so no one thinks I am being silly, when I say one minion deck, I'm kind of joking, because you still need to be running, like, Tharsan and, you know, insert minion here. You might be running as a second win condition, maybe even a Leroy or something like that.
Yeah. I like this card.
But yeah, I can definitely see it in a different style of deck. I wouldn't see it in the totem style of Shaman that I'm envisioning, but maybe in a late game control, not even a mid-range deck, because a mid-range deck, you cannot have a turn with Overload 5. You just lose. Yeah.
The thing about Shaman, though, is even their control and stuff has always like kept minions on the board throughout the game, so I have a hard time seeing where it fits, except, again, in that deck you're talking about, Billy, that I'm getting, that I'm warming to more and more over time. I really want to see it have play. Again, I think it's terrible until I open Malagos, but as soon as I do, I'm excited to see that one. All right, so I've got my fourth card here. This is a Priest Legendary. We have Confessor Paletress. This is a 7-mana minion. It is 5 attack, 4 health, and it reads, Inspire, summon a random legendary minion.
I must confess. This card is I'm very impressed with this card. I am impressed with Blizzard's bravery. This is a scary card to exist.
7/5/4 is terrible stat wise. I mean, we have to admit that. You do not want to be playing this card before you can do it and use its power. Like, you do not want to put this on the board on turn 7 and wait. Obviously, Fencing Coach and turn 9 are two options to play this card, as well as any later turns. Obviously, Thorsen, also a way to play this card. And I think even if you get one legendary minion out of it, it has pretty good chance to get value.
I mean, 9-mana 5/5. If you read this as just a 9-mana 5/5, oh, sorry, from 9-mana 5/4, that reads summon a random minion with Battlecry. Pretty good. Like, yeah, legendary minion, sorry.
It wouldn't be good otherwise.
My guess is when you do this, there's no going back, right? You're just stuck with the hero power until the end of the game.
Like, every turn.
I'm curious, what are you guys' thoughts? What, like, in what kind of deck would you guys put this card?
I mean,
just slap it straight into Control Priest. Just put it right in there.
I think it fits Control Priest's existing style.
Don't think you need
really
any, like, maidens or anything like that.
No.
Throw this straight in there.
I mean, you may be throwing other things in that benefits your power, like Jessica or something.
In my imaginary world, I'm already running that in Control Priest.
Right, right. What I'm saying is, like, you don't need other cards to make it good, but I think you will be running cards that make it better.
My only thought about this card that makes me doubt a little bit about it is that most of the decks in Hearthstone are built with the hero powers in mind, right? Since the classes are so stuck with the hero powers, most of the stuff kind of tends to synergize with the hero power. So copying a random hero power, because you don't know which class you're going to be facing.
Wait,
you copy your opponent's hero power, right?
No, we're talking about the summon a random legendary minion. Confessor.
I'm sorry, do I have the wrong link?
Yeah, you may have clicked my next card.
I'm sorry. I'm getting way ahead of myself.
Yes, that's my next card. Spoiler alert, everybody. But that card's not as good, even though it's really fun. But yes, Confessor is the Inspire Summon a Random Legendary minion.
Okay, you know, this card's insane.
There we go. That's more like it. Yeah, this card's so cool.
Yeah, this card is really, really cool. Just playing in turn 9 and getting a 5/4 and a random legendary, that can give you so much value. And if your opponent cannot remove it, like, ooh.
Yeah, this is another card that wins the flavor text award with "She sees into your past and makes you face your fears." Most common fear: getting major domo out of Sneed's old Shredder. I love how well Hearthstone understands its own game.
Yeah, like yeah, that's rules. Do that's, get it.
Man, this the love Blizzard.
You know, danger. You can get major domo out of her though. Like,
yeah,
you could murder yourself with this.
You know
card.
What else you can get? Aviana, and then dump your hand.
Yeah, you can get
Kel'Thuzad, you know, legendary minions are legendary minions.
One thing I do want to see is all the people who probably already have created a chart of like the chances of you getting minions for a certain value and what the overall value is.
Someone did like the average is, I forget exactly what it was, but somebody said that you have to hero power twice for this to be good, but I don't believe that at all.
That seems a little much, but I can see it.
There will come the game where you play this and you get screwed over, right? Like, yeah, do get the Lord games. Walker Cho, or you get like the new Hunter Legendary, the Acid Maw, the one that every hero
I'm
gets.
I'm picturing this card to exist in a kind of classic style control priest, because that deck was one of my favorite decks ever, and it went to fatigue quite a lot. Like, people used to say, "Oh, I'm versing priest. Here they go. This is gonna be a 30-minute game." You know what I mean? And if it can play this as its last threat, as its like version of Ysera,
oh my gosh, the controller really just concedes. Good. Yeah. It's like, what do you do now? It can unlimited.
Especially if they ran out of removal, like, ugh.
Control Warrior is like, but all of my taunts, no.
Yeah, I think this card is really cool. I like it a lot.
I will give it Taunt and Black Knight it.
Just
all right,
summon
yes.
random legendaries. I'm all in for it.
Sweet. All right. So, Andres, what is your fourth card here?
Fourth card. Let's see if I can click the right link this time.
That is useful. Weirdly enough, your fourth link is missed colors, so you might want to click the link above that.
Okay. There you go. Mysterious Challenger.
You and Mist.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a paladin card, 6 mana, 6/6, battle cry, put one of each secret from your deck into the battlefield. So this card is super interesting to me, right? Stat-wise, it's pretty solid. 6 mana for 6/6. Nothing to complain about there. I was listening to Strifeiro earlier talk about this card because he's like in love with paladins. And he was comparing this to Dr. Boom. And his train of thought was as this was comparable to the power level of Dr. Boom just a turn earlier, where you can play a 6/6 body, which is, you know, vanilla stats.
Okay.
And then you can get like 2 secrets out of it, maybe 3 secrets out of it, kind of like the 2 boom bots that you get. And he was saying that arguably the secrets are better than the boom bots based on the effects, especially the new paladin secret and maybe like, Avenge and stuff like that. He was also saying about how maybe running Mad Scientist in that sort of deck might be quite crappy, because you might run into the problem of running out of secrets. But basically, it's just a very powerful turn 6, where you play this and you get 2 secrets for free, huge tempo gain. Your opponent has to deal with a bunch of stuff.
My difficulty is finding room in a paladin deck that would want to play this card for the secrets. Like, mid-range paladin really wants value out of its card, so, you know, drawing Avenge or Noble Sacrifice in that deck isn't
fun. I agree with that, but remember I was talking to you about this kind of deck that I was thinking about, where it's all about little recruits and just buffing them, especially with that new paladin secret, which at the beginning of your turn gives you all your guys +1/+1.
Yeah, and then there's that's really supporting that style of play.
Yeah,
sure.
The new guy that inspire and gives them all +1 attack. A lot of ways of buffing them, and then you can play, since you're using those secrets anyway to make your little army super strong, this guy kind of just like fits in there as like your highest top of the curve kind of guy.
Right. You know what I find funny is that most of the places we disagree on these cards is what the new deck archetypes are going to be. Actually, I agree with you about this one, but if I remember correctly, Billy, you're not thinking that deck archetype is going to be huge?
No, I don't think so. And as far as this card goes, I lost a lot of respect for a lot of really good players this week when talking to them about this card. I don't understand how this card is even considered to be run. Like, yeah, it gets a lot of value, and if it works, it's better than Dr. Boom. I don't think this card will work at all. I don't think it even comes close to being good. This might be one of the cards I'm furthest away from being right about, but I don't think this sees any play. It has the potential to be insane and everything, but it's still a Paladin Secret. Paladin Secrets suck.
That was my initial reaction to this card as well.
There's a few Paladin Secrets that are not too bad, and especially if you get them for free, I don't know.
Okay, so the Paladin Secrets that are good are good board advantage early on in the game.
Yeah.
This is not an early in the game card, so I don't know. I don't see this card working at all.
Yeah, but I was kind of with you, Billy, when first reading this card. I'm like, yeah, this is a gimmick card. But now so many people are like coming out positive for this card that I'm kind of with you, that I'm kind of like doubting myself. Like, is this the card I just was completely off base with? Is this actually great?
I'm going to stick to my guns because I don't like to doubt myself. But I think this card's unplayable.
I still kind of am sticking to my guns on it, and I don't think it's good, but I'm willing to be proven wrong.
Right, I am also willing to be proven wrong. I
hope I can prove you guys wrong, and this card makes a big splash, because I don't know, I'm all in for new deck archetypes and decks that break the mold and don't even like resemble older decks, but like do just their own thing, right? Just because mid-range Paladin doesn't take advantage of the secrets, it doesn't mean that there cannot exist a good Paladin Secret deck.
Right. That's definitely true. I don't like to just base the future completely on the past, because that you never have Patron Warrior. But yeah, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to when these cards come out, all of us playing all of these decks
I'm like itching so bad to play these cards.
Because like almost every deck archetype, at least one of us disagrees that it's even going to be an existing archetype. Like I can't, like maybe the mid-range Shaman is the only one we agree on, but even then you say it's going to be Totem and Billy says it isn't. So like probably Control Priest is the only archetype we're really agreeing about being
and even still
thing.
You can argue we disagreed about it, because I remember I was trying to explain that it was going to be a geared towards anti-aggro with Wild Pyromancers and stuff like that, and I believe somebody here on the panel disagreed with me and said that
debates is about the injured Kvaldir card that I said wasn't going to be in that deck. So you're right, there is not an archetype we can agree about. So I'm so curious to see how things, I hope it just shakes out so I'm wrong about literally everything. So it's just like, you know, a little bit fair, but everything that I said was going to be a thing isn't a thing. I want somehow the stars to align that way, but we'll see. All right. Let's see here. That was your fourth card. So Billy, your fourth card.
My fourth card is Beneath the Ground. I love this card so much. It is a 3-cost spell for Rogue that reads, shuffle 3 ambushes into your opponent's deck. When drawn, you summon a 4/4 Nerubian.
Ooh. So Milrogue is back. Can we all agree on that? Like, it's being given cards, at least.
Yeah, so it was interesting. We talked about, what was it? I think it was Gang Up when that was first released and announced. And I believe it wasn't anybody on the panel, but I think a listener tried to explain to me that Blizzard didn't like the mill style. And I'm like, well, why didn't? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't they? I mean, they added in Gang Up. Clearly, they have some interest in the mill style, and this card Gang Up could have been argued to be a control rogue card, but this card there is no longer an argument. Ambush is just the mine from Iron Juggernaut. It doesn't actually do anything. You just draw it, and then you'll draw another card on top of that, but the it will come up on your screen.
It's just a useless card.
Yeah, a dead card.
Otherwise, if it beefed up their deck, that would be bad for mill, because it'd be harder to mill your opponent. But yeah, this is amazing. Also, again, their flavor text is very on point, this expansion. For this one, it's, can you hold these eggs for a second? I promise they're not full of giant enraged undead spider things.
Oh, that's so good.
I quite like this card. It's like an investment in the future, and like, I don't know, like just getting a 4/4 for free.
It's 12/12 for 3 mana. Yeah. Like, if you get it all, that's insane.
That is not bad at all. I like this card quite a bit. It definitely promotes a completely different style of Rogue. Which I'm all in for, because Rogue has been a little stale.
Yeah, I really want Mil Rogue to be a thing. I mean, Anubarak, the legendary, also kind of goes into that because of his longevity. We'll see if he actually becomes a thing. I'm more doubtful about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but yeah, this card's super fun. I'm excited to see what really cool this card.
I will also like to mention with this card existing, we could see a half mil, half miracle deck, which would be slightly interesting because this is putting on board pressure, and you could finish out the game with some cold blood nonsense charge from your hand because you know you're putting on pressure with these 4/4s. But I could be completely
off with
that.
We're going to be seeing Miracle Rogue.
Yeah, Miracle Rogue. Let's go.
Calling it here. That is a deck archetype I can get behind. All right, Andres, it's here, the card you really wanted to talk about last round. We have my final card, Sideshow Spell Eater. This is an epic neutral minion. It costs 6 mana, has 6 attack and 5 health, and it reads, Battle Cry, copy your opponent's hero power. This card is bad that you should not, like, Justicar is so much better than this card. It's not even funny, Justicar True Heart, but it's still so much fun.
It's definitely a cool card. Never seen before, but yeah, like I said, most of the decks in Hearthstone are built around very specific synergies, and this one kind of like just throws you in for a loop.
Yeah,
so because
I'm not
this
saying,
is an
not
epic
saying that
card.
It can't be useful, like in some cases it might save you, but
it's anti-warlock tech.
Yeah.
Okay, so because this card is an epic card, yep, I want everyone to know this. I want all the listeners to know this. A lot of people who are free to play, as soon as they pull an epic card, like to disenchant it because it's 100 dust. I can make 2 mm-hmm. commons with that.
Mm-hmm.
Please keep this card if you pull it. Okay. Now, the reason why is like Blizzard have said this so many times in the past, and I hate re-referencing it because it needs to be referenced every time I talk about this type of system. Whenever we see the first reveal for a set, whether it be a solo adventure or an expansion, they're currently working on the next one. They said that mm-hmm. with Nexoramus, and they said that applies to everything from here on out.
Okay.
So right now, when we see this card, they're currently working on whatever the next solo adventure is, which mm-hmm. we already talked about earlier on in the show. This card is really cool against the solo adventure bosses. And I think that this card will be required to beat one of them in Heroic.
That you can't take boss
yeah, only hero powers.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's a hero power.
I know.
Oh, yeah. It's called a hero power.
They confirmed it on Twitter that you can't.
That's so rude.
I know.
Sorry to ruin your dreams,
it was a good
Billy.
Preamble. I agree with you in spirit on most of this, but this is...
Then
yeah.
Why does this card exist? This card sucks.
I know!
Oh my god, it's this terrible. Card completely sucks.
So, all right, so disenchant this card. Do disenchant it now.
Yeah, disenchant it. Get rid of
disenchant
it.
Disenchant it. Next card. We have Andres, your final card.
All right, my final card. A card that really surprised me when I saw it on the match with Ben Broden and Frodan against Ixar.
Mm-hmm.
Frodan ended up playing it. I was kind of like impressed when I saw it. It's Bulf Ramshield, 6 mana, legendary card, 3/9. Whenever your hero takes damage, this minion takes it instead.
So this is another like aggro please die card that
pretty,
they're trying to introduce.
Pretty much
to
very,
the game.
Very anti-aggro card. But the thing is, this card also has other uses as well. For example, weapon interactions. If your hero has a weapon, you can attack and not get damage, and instead he gets damaged.
That's a good point. I hadn't actually thought of that, which is also really important for like removal in aggro decks or something like that.
Yeah, certain forms of removal, for example, for warrior or I can even see it for like priest, where you can just mm-hmm. keep healing it up because the nine health is actually quite significant.
Not only that, but we talked about in Priest, you want these sticky minions to then confuse into win conditions. This is one guy that could potentially fit into that. Hey, I'm saying a single confuse in Priest could potentially give you a win condition if you're playing sticky minions up until that point. All I'm saying is this guy really fits my dumb gimmick deck.
All right. I'll let it pass.
I just want to say I'm a sucker for like cards that do like completely new interactions. And I think this guy is powerful enough to where like it can be very, very useful in certain situations. Definitely not against every deck. It has its weaknesses. Like, for example, against a priest, it could get stolen really easily.
Yeah.
Or it could get just destroyed quite easily. The three attack is not going to give you a lot of reach against like heavier minions. But I don't know. I think for the purpose that it serves, very anti-aggro, kind of sustain and give you a lot of sustaining power for your hero. I think it's a pretty cool card.
Also, going back to Priest, like it's a really cool card to have on the field because Circle of Healing suddenly basically heals your hero, which is kind of neat.
No, so it doesn't work like that.
Excuse me? Well, I'm just saying, like, if you take damage with this card, then play Circle of Healing, you're basically gaining more health for your hero.
This card kind of has, like, Spell Taunt, just to get my quick thoughts on it. But there is some negative impact. There are some negative impacts with this card, though. Mm-hmm. For instance, Hunter Hero Power can now control the board. Because it's going to hit your face and then hurt your Ram Shield.
I wouldn't say control the board, but...
Well, yeah, but you get what I mean.
Ram Shield is serving its purpose, right? It's soaking the damage.
Yeah.
Right. But this card is, I don't know. I like that they didn't just call something Spell Taunt, because that's, like, essentially that's what this is. The only thing that it doesn't affect, that Spell Taunt wouldn't affect, would be, I think, a Hero Power, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. It's also, that is so important, too. Like, if you're against, like, a Hunter or something, and you know he's going to kill command you that last turn, and you just play this guy, suddenly the Hunter is just baffled there.
I would like to see a keyword for this.
There's nothing more frustrating than, like, knowing that you assume all board control, and you have all your towns set up, and then they just kill command you over them.
I would say it's a card that Flame Lance is good against if Polymorph wasn't just better against it. So... We get back to that.
I don't think Flame Lance is good against any card, Brian.
No, but you know, Flame Lance can't hit the face, so this is like, you know, an acceptable alternative to use that 8 damage. But every time I saw Flame Lance in the Tavern Brawl, I'm like, why aren't you Polymorph? Get out of my face, Flame Lance. I do not want you. You are not wanted here. But yeah, this card seems... I like the effect. I still don't know if you want to be playing this on turn 6 compared to other 6 drops, but it's very, very anti-aggro if we continue seeing anti-aggro being about. I said you don't necessarily want to see anti-aggro on turn 6. This is somewhat an exception for me just because it does take all
it
types of damage.
It completely locks everything down besides silence.
Yeah, except silence. It locks everything down. So it basically gives you 9 health, which is the kind of stuff you do want to be doing late game. So yeah, cool card. Let's see here. So we have our final card of all these cards, Billy. Your 5th card. Take it away.
We have the Stable Master. Kind of an underwhelming card, I would imagine, for most. it is a 3-cost 4-2 battle cry. Give a friendly beast immune this turn. So the immune effect doesn't really exist in Hearthstone outside of Ice Block and the Eagle... not Eagle Horn. One Beast of the bows. Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And then also, yeah, Beast of
Wrath. Oh, and Gladiator's Longbow.
Currently, a Beast Hunter deck is kind of stuck. It doesn't really have too many options. And a Stable Master is exactly what they were looking for because, for instance, your 2-drops in that deck are very, very limited. I mean, you could be running Scavenging Hyena, but he's never going to get any value because he's just going to die next turn because everything they play can trade into it, even if it gets a buff. Well, now you can play your Stable Master onto your Scavenging Hyena, trade, and now your Hyena is still all good and dandy on full health. I think this card has very interesting interactions in the game. People have said that Houndmaster is better. I disagree. I think Stable Master is better. I was about to ask you that.
Like, do you see yourself running this instead of Houndmaster or with Houndmaster?
I see myself running this instead of Houndmaster in a deck that isn't... Don't picture this as a Hunter card, because the deck that I'm imagining would not play anything like a Hunter we've seen before.
See, I disagree with you about being better than Houndmaster, because potentially with Houndmaster, what you can do is you can give one of your beasts taunt, and then the next turn, which is turn 9, because that's you did that on turn 8, you can play Nefarian and get bolster, and then the turn after that, you can play bolster, and bolster your taunted minion from the Houndmaster.
Or before you go in, before you went on that huge tangent, I actually kind of agree with you. I like the Houndmaster a little better, because the 2-2 is permanent, and the taunt can give you, you know, quite a significant advantage. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It seems like a better tool.
Right. Okay. So
I would maybe see it running it maybe one in tandem for like an extra kind of like trade up kind of thing. But even then, I don't know if you can manage to fit it
you're
in.
You're looking at Houndmaster as a you're valuing the damage on Houndmaster, I think, quite a lot. And I don't think that's really what I'm looking for out of this card. With this card, I'm looking to control the board in a very... I'm looking to control the board without... I'm thinking it as a Divine Shield, right? If this card read Divine Shield, it would be essentially the same. However, this is slightly better.
Wouldn't Divine Shield be slightly better? Because
I kind of like Divine Shield a little better, yeah.
No. Immune is better in literally every way.
Wait, I disagree, because Divine Shield would last till the next turn if you didn't have a trade that turn.
Oh, but immune sure, only this but turn. I'm looking to play this and then trade. Like, that's my idea.
Same with Divine Shield, though.
Right, this is a total tangent.
No. In the circumstance where you're playing something onto it and then trading, immune is way better than Divine Shield in every way because of explosive trap and stuff like that, like circumstantial damage that happens during the turn, like knife jugglers and stuff like that.
For that turn, immune is marginally better, but I prefer Divine Shield
in
general.
I see what you're saying.
But yes, going back to your point, it sounds to me like it's a way to, on curve, keep controlling the board a little better than Houndmaster does, because like you said, you play your 2-drop, you not only get a 3-drop, you're also keeping your 2-drop alive and removing one of their creatures. So the board is just starting to steamroll in your favor.
Worth noting that there aren't too many 2-drop beasts.
Just not many you want to play.
Yeah, Horned Creeper is not obviously a card you can really play with this probably, but I'm picturing Scavenging Hyena being viable in that type of deck. Keeping in mind, like, this deck that I'm talking about doesn't want to be running Houndmaster. I'm in a regular Hunter deck, I would say that Houndmaster is better than this card. But in a board control focused beast hunter deck, this card I think would make a splash, and I think that deck also has the potential to make quite a splash.
Scavenging Hyena would be a little bit awkward if you're playing this on turn 3, because unless you played a turn 1 beast, you're so many turns away from getting a beast to buff Scavenging Hyena.
Right, you're looking at Hyena because Hyena is a combo card, and that's what hurts Hyena, because as a 2-drop, it's not very good. But you in that type of deck, you could play it as a 2-drop if you happen to draw it on like by turn 2, and then Stable Master would be a condition that lets it stay alive for a little longer and stuff like that.
Stable Master is also one of those cards that can have a great uses later on in the game, which is cool. If you top deck it late in the game,
play this on top of a high main, trade it in.
Yeah. Awesome. There are a lot of cool. I like this card. And how you described it gives me more hope for it as well. But
we'll see how it comes out. I'm honestly really not excited about this card. I don't see myself using this card at all.
Once more, I do love the flavor text for this card, which is takes
Wait,
what? Is that the ending?
You could use it at the end of the show.
Okay, everyone, you get a little sneak preview. Our flavor text of the week will be Stable Master, because it's so dang good and so much my style.
Talking about the end of the show.
Yeah, speaking of the end of the show, boom, you go, Andres. That was fun. I really enjoyed talking through those cards. I'm excited to talk to the rest, but I'm sure those will just come up over discussion as we discuss all the TGT stuff. This is our final pre-Grand Tournament episode.
For sure. I'm super excited about next week's episode. Once the cards are out, we can actually discuss what some of our findings and what we've been doing, you know, because right now it's so much speculation about all these cards. I finally want to be able to have some hard facts come here with some evidence that
I feel like next episode is going to be the episode of us saying, well, wait and see. I mean, we're not sure said card is unusable yet, and it's going to be us like all defending the predictions we made and saying there's not enough data in yet. And then the episode after that is going to be when we're going to start to say, okay, fine, I was right slash wrong about that.
I'm looking forward to that.
So we'll see in time. But for now, let's go ahead and outro ourselves out of here. We got some iTunes reviews in this last week. We actually got two of them, which is awesome. One of them is from Gambra. Which his review deck is great show for serious Hearthaholics. And he says, I was wary of adding another Hearthstone podcast to my weekly listening schedule, but these guys have a great format, a good variety of voices, and an enjoyable cast of regulars. Also, they have good rapport with each other, which is important for the high level of card and meta analysis that they do on the show. Lots of good insight to be found here, sometimes much more than I find on my other favorite Hearthstone podcast, which he doesn't list. He needs to do that so he can badmouth other podcasts. I must listen for students of the game. I really appreciate that.
Awesome. That is an awesome review.
Yeah,
you guys
I'm really
are so articulate with your reviews. I feel like if I was ever to really leave an iTunes review on anything, I'd be like, yeah, it's good, hey. It's pretty
you should leave us that review, Billy. I'll read it on the show. But yeah, it really was articulate. And I'm always happy to hear that people find value from what we're saying, but because like since I already know what I'm saying going in, like I wonder how much it is just self-evident to people. And how much it's actually useful to them. So I'm always really happy to hear that people are getting something new from it and not just hearing like the same thoughts over and over again.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We also got one from Rob, who is our friend of the show and someone who comes to the game nights every week. He goes by Dr. Twick on iTunes.
Hey,
and
Rob.
His review deck is Combo, Acquire an Awesome Podcast. Because it's five stars. That's awesome. I appreciate
nice.
That.
That is our ability as a podcast.
And he says, so the combination of these three guys for a podcast is golden. Brian is a great host and asks all the right questions. Billy thinks critically for each card and loves to mix the game up each week. And Andres keeps things collected to strategies that are always relevant, as well as insightful projections on upcoming content of the game. Great work on this podcast, and Andres did a fantastic job on the music intro. One of the best for any podcast I've listened to.
Nice. So, thanks, Rob.
Thank you again, Rob. That's awesome. I think you...
I have to interject and disagree with Rob. I don't know what you're talking about, because underneath that description of Andres, you were claiming that something like a totem shaman would work, because that is what Andres is saying would work, and I disagree. And therefore, we should have a disagreement battle on Twitter.
And you're also wrong, Rob. I ask all of the wrong questions.
But absolutely. And I give negative opinions on everything.
Exactly. Billy never has interesting opinions on cards or decks.
I almost want to make mainstream first, just so I can come back to you, Billy.
I want to see screenshots of Twitter of you somehow running 30 shaman totems.
30 shamans. I think we're going back to the whole point that every card has to be a totem card. I don't think that's the argument here, but oh well. Again, this is for next week when
absolutely.
We actually have some...
That is very true.
Some iffy facts, like I played three games and won two of them.
We will see.
All right. If you want to email us and send us listener topics in, because next week we will probably be going back to having those as part of the show, and we are like completely out of remotely relevant listener topics, please email us at hearthaholics@gmail.com. We are also on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Just search Hearthaholics and we shall come up. Finally, we are a member of the Whales or Whales Network, which is a network for other awesome podcasts like this one with other awesome people like us, like the Whales or Whales podcast I mentioned at the top of the show. So check out whalesorwhales.com for details on that. We have more new shows coming very soon, and I will share details when we have them. And if you want to talk to us over the interwebs, we run a game night for the Angry Chicken every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central Daily Time. So just check out the TAC subreddit, which is /TAC podcast. And you can find details there that I post every week about that game night, and join us. It's a lot of fun. We have like about, 15 to 20 people show up each week. And we typically play a bunch of tavern brawls in a tournament format, followed by just random decks and chatting. So I enjoy that every week, and hopefully you can as well. So Andres, where can people find you on the internet?
People can find me on Twitter at iPlayGames. You spell that I-P-L-A-I Games. You can also find all the work that I do and all the music that I've done lately on my website, massivemusic.com. You spell that M-A-S-S-E-V-E. Lots of cool stuff over there. Check it out. Let me know what you think.
Nice. And Billy?
I don't really have much to plug this week, so I'll just throw a comment on top of the whales on top of the whales, a whales plug.
Yes.
Do that. It's really it's really cool. Whales or Whales is an awesome network, and I recommend specifically listening to the Whales or Whales podcast.
Yes, thank you. It is. I actually heard Jeffrey listens to that from the game night. I didn't know he did.
Yes, he recently started listening to it. He was talking about it to me just before the show. Yeah.
That made me so happy because that's one of those podcasts that I just assume no one listens to because it's so weird and random. That it was awesome to hear him say, "Yeah, I listened to the podcast," and I'm like, right. You know the jokes.
Yay. You got it.
All right. We need to have Andres on there soon. It's you need to stop working.
I do. I need to make it. I need to make it.
All right. If you want to find me on the internet, I am Lord Meldor on Twitter. That is Lord Meldorr. And you can also find me around Whales or Whales. I do like all the Whales or Whales stuff. So just head over to whalesorwhales.com and you'll probably hear my voice on like any of those podcasts. So that'll do it for this week. Finally, I'm going to leave you with our flavor text of the week. Takes way better care of her pets than her brother, Unstable Master. Let the hunt begin.